All right. 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the East Coast. If you hear, you know where you're at. This happens to be the No Chaser. I am JT, the co-host of this great show. And without further ado, let's get this show on the road with the host, with the most, and you know all who he is, Mac Williams. Welcome there, Mac.
Hey, what's up, Jerry? Hey, guys. We hope
right.
you had a great week. All my listeners, I hope you had a great week. Hey, look, Merry Christmas to all my listeners. I appreciate you all listening to the show and following me all year. Just want to let you know that the No Chaser Show is sponsored by Trinity Web Solutions. Trinity Web Solutions is your home for websites, domains, anything you can think of to help out your presence online. We also offer a spam-free email and also calendars also. So if you need to do anything with an online presence, just go over to trinitywebsolutions.org and click the link there, and it'll show you anything you want to do. Without further ado, man, look, I just want to get started. We have our special guest this week, and it's my man Lonnie Southall. Lonnie Southall, just so you guys know, is the person who introduced me to last week's guest, which was Tim Lather. So I always thank Lonnie for that, introducing me. I've never been introduced before on Facebook to anybody, but that was the first, and I must say it was a great find. So without further ado, we want to welcome in Lonnie Southall. He is a security director. I'll let him express who he works for. You'd be really surprised. But Lonnie, welcome to the show, man. Glad you come on, man.
Hey, Mac.
I appreciate it, man. We started off as like associates a little bit, but then we became friends as I got to know him during the N1 tour days. He was from DC with the tour, and we would talk to each other and get to know each other that way. So, you know, Lonnie, I know what you were doing, but tell everybody what you do right now, who you work for.
Right now, I'm personal security for Bruno Mars. Like you said, me and you, we met during the N1, during the mixtape tour. I was with mm-hmm. them from like the beginning to it ended. Mm-hmm. But I work with pretty much everybody in the business, Linkin Park, Drake, the Pearl Jam, Blink-182, you know, just to name a few.
And how did all this, I just want to explain to everybody because, I try to have interesting guests. They're not all famous or known, but they all do interesting work, and what you do I find fascinating. So the first thing I want to know is, you know, how did you get into this business? Like, how did you start? You know, I would like people to know what it takes and, you know, how you started. So, you know, if you could explain how you got started in this business, you know, go right ahead.
Basically, I started, you know, how Drake say, started from the bottom, now we're here. I started from the bottom, you know. I was at the L.A. Convention Center doing overnight security, just trying to find a way to you get paid to do my homework. You know, I was going to school and I was just like, I would be motivated to do homework if I can go somewhere and get paid to do the homework. So I took on a security job, and then as time progressed, I started liking it more and more and started learning the ins and outs. And then before I knew it, I was director of security at the Great Western Forum in Inglewood, California, where the Lakers and the Kings and everybody was before they opened up Staples Center. And then once they opened up Staples, I just decided to, you know, it was time for a change because when you work that 9-to-5 every day, it's kind of like I felt like I was a robot. You know, I was doing the same thing every day, like you wake up, go to work, get off work, go home. So, and I would look for a change. And then the opportunity with N1, through a company I work for in based out of Kansas City called MPB Companies, they gave me an opportunity to do security for N1, and I never looked back.
So, right. so how did you get to be a celebrity for security. How did you get into that from N1?
The company MPB is that's what they do. They do personal security and they do tour security,
right.
Venue security for all the stars. So they already have all the contracts with the stars. So once
okay.
they hired me, like N1 was just, you know, one client under the umbrella. So, but then when N1 was done, they put you on another gig, you know, when that gig was over. So once they put you on the gig, you know, it's word of mouth after that. Like, one client like you, like that guy, that tour manager for, let's say, Drake's tour director is the same tour director for Rage Against the Machine, right? So me and him worked good on Rage, so when he got the job with Drake, I'm the first person he called.
Wow.
You know, and that's kind of like how it works.
Wow. And so you really just took an opportunity that came upon you and just worked it to its limit to where you could just took it as far as you could take it.
Yes.
Okay. So let me ask you, who is the person you enjoy working with the most? I mean, I'm talking about it from a fun standpoint. I'm not saying that everybody else is not. I'm saying who you have the most fun for you.
To be honest with you, Mac, people always ask, it's a question people always ask, and I'm not the guy, I don't have, like I said, I don't work with everybody. I don't have no horror stories. You know,
okay.
I've been blessed to have worked with the best people in the business. You know what I mean? But from
okay.
a fun standpoint, I can honestly say N1 was like one of the best times of my life and my career because it was all guys from the same, like these guys from the same, I'm from, you know, South Central L.A. These guys are from the streets of New York, D.C., L.A., all over, you know? So
well,
that was great.
It seemed to me always when I talked to you that it was never, it was like you were getting paid to do, to just have fun. Because I never, and I'm not saying you didn't do no work, but it always made it look, you always made it look easy. It was like you was one of the ball players. It was just really funny. It was like a brotherhood. It was like, oh, Lonnie, man, that's my man. Da 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 da. You know, the players always like. It was like you was one of the guys. Like if they had put your uniform statue on the bench, it would have been like nobody would have been surprised. You know, because that's just how the relationship y'all had. I mean, I know y'all was like a bunch of cheaters sometimes. Y'all was cracking me up and stuff. Y'all say to each other and stuff like that. But I'm not surprised you said that. I'm not surprised at all. Now let me ask you: Do you work harder doing what you're doing now than
AM1?
I'll ask you that.
Okay, first of all, I'll tell you two things. My mentality, like my number one rule in life is if you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life.
Exactly.
And that's what I live by. So even now, like with Bruno or with whoever, it still don't feel like a job. When it feel like a job, I quit. Like I'm done. You know,
okay.
But it doesn't feel like a job at all. And
right.
But there's no robbery in fair exchange. So,
yeah.
Like, you know, it's not strenuous work like that, but, you know, going 3 months at a time away from your kids, away from your crib, you know, it's a lot, you know, it's a lot, you know, it's a relationship killer. You know, you can't have a really, you know, no steady relationship because, you know, women want their man at home. You know,
right.
Like, unfortunately, you know, after... It's always the same. After 2 weeks, you go on, it's like, you know, at first week, I miss you. Second week, you lucky if you get a text.
He's like, I'll get married when I retire.
Right.
I get it.
Third week is your, this number has been disconnected.
Right.
Well, I know you out there people with them ticks out in Berlin. You know, he's like, what? Like, oh. Doing my work, you know. So I know it's a relationship killer, but you know, like I said, you have to enjoy what you. If you're enjoying what you do, then hey, man, I don't tell anybody because the one thing you don't want is somebody that you end up resenting the person that takes time for what you want to really do, and that's why I said when you're done with it, you know, if you can have a relationship in both, that's great. But if you can't, you know, you have to pick one or the other. Sometimes it's that fire in your belly. that has to be, you know, used, you know, before the relationship. So I understand what you're saying. Well, I mean, I know last year, like I said, last year we hooked up and you had me and the wife at the Drake concert. And that was a really good concert. It really, really was. It was a good experience. And you guys are, Bruno Mars, you guys, after the holidays, is it after the holidays you start the North American tour?
No, actually, we have coming up after the Super Bowl,
because
right. Bruno, you know, I must give him this plug, who is Billboard's Artist of the Year. Big shout out for that. But we're doing the halftime at Super Bowl, and then we're going to Australia. We go to Australia at the end of February, and then from Australia we head to Asia, and then we come back to the USA in April, and then the US run kicks off in May.
Okay, so y'all won't do the US run until May. Okay, so you pretty much be here in the States all summer, which is probably pretty nice, you know, to be home and get the, you know, that American cooking. Not that the cooking's bad wherever you are, but you know, speaking of that, what kind of what's the most interesting food you've had since you've been, you know, gone, or that you did something that you never ate before, something that you never ate before that you tried and you liked it and you never thought you would. Can you tell me that?
Yeah, in Germany, me and my boy Larry Echols, who actually took over for me as director of security for Drake, we was out there doing Drake in Europe, and we ate pig knuckle.
Pig knuckles. Oh. Is that the first time you've done that?
At first. Yeah, man. Oh. It was, believe it or not, it was incredibly good. I've ate it like 2 times since then.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
So you ate it once in Germany, and then you went back and ate it again.
Yep.
Pig knuckles. That's crazy. So that was really good. That's
yeah.
Of all the things I thought you were going to say, I never thought you were going to say pig knuckles. I thought you were going to say some extravagant dish or some delicacy somewhere else or something. I never expected that one.
No, man, I'm like a couple noodles. Like, I go to Japan, I don't eat all that crazy stuff. One thing about, like, Japan, they got, like, 1,000 different flavors of top ramen. So I'm going to eat noodles and, you know, stuff I know about, you know.
Okay.
Well, let me ask you something real quick.
Sure.
You're with Bruno Mars now. How long is that? Well, I just shouldn't say assignment, but how long are you with Bruno Mars before you move on to some other star? Or you're with him?
Whatever. I'm with him to the duration of his tour cycle.
Okay.
So, like, as of right now, it's set to be till November. But if he said we gonna go till next, you know, 2016, that's what it is.
Wow.
Okay. Okay.
Now, once that's over, do they immediately have you another assignment? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Just
like, it's kind of funny, like, how it works is, like, say, like, Drake was just out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, you know, I was director of security for Drake, so since Bruno left first, I went with Bruno. But it's always going to be an opportunity where you got, like, Linkin Park or, you know, Drake or Bruno or somebody going to be getting ready to tour, and that's what, you know, that's who you have to go with. Unfortunately, they're rich. I'm not rich. You know, so I have to go to, you know, where that money is at that time.
Okay. Okay. Now, is this a job in the security where you have retirement and insurance and things like that for yourself, or is it, or how does that work? And I only asked that question because you brought up the fact that I'm not rich. And I was like, okay, so is this a company kind of thing where you have insurance, you know, 401k, blah, 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 or is this something where you just pay?
Now, that's a great question. Luckily, like, at MPB, like, the company I work for, like, they have, like, financial advisors. We have, like, they offer, like, medical packages and things of that nature. So, like, they have, like, a specialist that tell you, like, you know, investing. You know, they'll show you how to invest your money and all that other stuff. And they have different programs that, you know, that help us. So, yeah, we're not just out. Like, but a lot of guys who do security, and I call them mercenaries because they don't work for a company. And, like, basically they have to, like, do all that stuff on their own.
Wow. Okay, okay. I get it. You're blessed they even have that. Okay, cool. Well, let me ask you this. Is there somebody you would like to work for? If you could pick somebody, if you could say, you know what, I would love to go on tour with that person and be a security director, who would that be?
No, absolutely not. I mean, like, I really, my mind doesn't, you know, it's funny, like, my mind doesn't even, like, N1 was probably the only gig I've ever wished for beforehand. Like, I used to go buy the shoes just to get the DVD, and I would walk out the store and throw the shoes in the trash just to get the mixtape. Because I used to wear, I was a Jordan guy, I used to love Jordans. So I would just go to the shoe store to get the N1. Then because it came with the video.
N1s didn't cost a lot. You could actually pay for N1s, and not saying they were worthless, but I'm just saying you could afford to throw those shoes away or give them away, and you'd be like, all right, I'm good. But you
right.
They don't cost these to start now.
Right. And that's what I did. I used to just buy the shoe, walk outside, take the DVD out, throw the shoes in the trash, and I just used to watch it, and I'd be like, man, I would love to be a part of this. And, you know, God made it possible.
Wow. What's the best part of him? What's the best part of it for you?
The best part of tour for me is, like, the camaraderie of, like, the crew and the people who actually build the stage, the production of the tour. You know, it's like you traveling 3 months away from home with these people. You spend more time with them than your – they become your family.
Right.
Because you spend more time with them than your actual family. So the camaraderie, you know, the teamwork, you know, the relationships you build with people you meet, you know, work with over the years, that's hands down the best part of the job.
Okay. And what is the worst part, the part that you don't like?
The worst part of TSA. TSA is the worst part of the job, going to the airport, dealing with paparazzi, I'll say. But TSA, small airplanes, and paparazzi got to be the three worst things of the job.
Let me ask you this. So who's the worst in the paparazzi in the TSA?
Ooh, paparazzi would definitely be the worst.
Are they really as ruthless and expressive as people say they are? Because I don't have that experience, and I just don't know, so I'm just asking.
Man, in the words of Tupac, you can sell the paparazzi your soul, and they'll be on you till they see your ghost. Like, they will never leave you alone. Like, no matter what kind of deal, like, you know, it's just, they're ruthless, man.
Wow.
You know, I treat them bad, too.
Let me ask you this. Do you believe that you're a firm believer in changing the law so that there are restrictions and some kind of limits to paparazzi?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I'll trigger it because you know firsthand. So when you hear those stars, when you hear the stars suing them or what have you, You're pretty much like, yep, how you feel? You're probably one of the few people like, yep, how you feel? Now, what happened? You know, you probably put two and two together, even when they don't know the whole story. You know the story. So when you see a guy like Alec Baldwin flipping off at the paparazzi of people, you see even Kanye, even though I think Kanye is an idiot. That's just me. That's just me. I'm sorry. It's my show. But I do understand by based on what you're saying, I kind of see why they slip out. But see, as we as fans and normal people, we don't see the other side. We don't hear what they said to him, what they did, how it was, or what have you. So based on what...
Hello?
Hello? Yeah. I'm here.
Mac, are you there? What happened to Mac? Oh, we must have lost Mac. Maybe he'll come back. Mac, are you there? Hello, Mac. Mac, are you there? Hopefully we'll get him back. Let me do this. Hopefully he'll call back. Anyway,
So, like, to piggyback what he was saying about the paparazzi, like,
right.
You know, I don't think, you know, and maybe that's why I am what some may say successful in this business, because I really don't, like, these people are stars because they love to do what they want to do, and they do
right.
better than a lot of people at doing it, you know. But they shouldn't be condemned, you know, like, sometimes, like, even yourself, like, you wake up, you don't want to talk to nobody, or you don't want to be bothered, and, you know, and I think they should be allowed the same respect, that's all.
What, you've been to different countries, I assume, quite naturally.
Yes.
Is the paparazzi in different countries more ruthless than the United States, or you think the United States paparazzi, regardless of what state you go to, is a lot more ruthless?
No, I think definitely the demographics of, like London, you know, paparazzi pretty much kill Princess Di, you know.
Yeah.
You know, so they're very aggressive, you know, in London. You know, in L.A., they get kind of aggressive in L.A., but London, you know, Paris, places like that, it's like, it's a different monster, you know.
Oh,
but,
okay. So you're saying they're not as ruthless like us in California. Is that because they're used to that? They're kind of used to seeing stars and used to seeing people in those places all the time and following them. It's kind of like just old because you're in Hollywood and that's what you normally do. Or
no, I think like because like say like London, they have more avenues to make money off the picture. Like they sell more magazines and more newspapers and like the Inquirer, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like for instance, like me, you know, I was working with Rihanna. We come out. I walk her out the hotel. They take a picture. The next day, it's on the front page of like an Inquirer saying we was coming out of a sex shop. You know,
what?
They sold it to somebody like that. You know,
wow.
But we walking out of the hotel. You know, but it's on the front cover the next day. Like, is this stuff like that? You know.
Oh God! If I saw you on there, they had a sex shop. If I ever see you on Esquire walking around the thing, they said it's a sex shop, man. They hit you, Lonnie, and be like, God bless you, Lonnie. God bless you.
Come on, man.
You like Lonnie? You my hero. You're my hero, Lonnie.
Come on, man.
You know I'd be playing with you because I knew it would be true, but it would be so funny. You'd be like, Lonnie, really? Man,
you gotta laugh at it, though, man. You have to
laugh at it. So you giving us kind of an inside scoop. So really, the stuff that they sell on the Inquirer and they sell all these news, half of these news stories are probably made up just to sell some papers or just to get some news. So y'all coming out of the set. Because I've seen those papers, and I was like, really? Now, the Inquirer, I don't look at, honestly. The Inquirer, I take no. If they said, if, I'm going to be honest with you, the Inquirer is so crazy. If they said God was alive, I'd probably doubt it. If it was on the first the Inquirer, I'd be like, really?
Because
they make up crazy stories, man, with these pictures. And he's like, really?
Yeah, but, Mac, you got to look at it like this. The Inquirer been around since before we was alive. So somebody got to be believing it to be continue selling it.
Look, this is what I said. I know that because, let's be honest, Lonnie, how many times have we seen people post satire stories on Facebook as if it's true and then be sitting up being mad and saying stuff? And I was like, do you understand that the site you posted on here is a satire site? They're making it up. You know, I feel like too many people, trying to play it off. Yeah, I knew it was a satire site, but what if they did? You're like, come on, man. So I get that. There's a certain segment of the country that, yes, you're right. The Inquirer has been around since I was a kid. And they probably ain't going to go nowhere soon, even though they keep sticking aliens on the front of it and saying President Obama talked to aliens the other night. I just feel like, really? Yeah, that one just gets me. Okay. So let me ask you this. How would an aspiring person who says, hey, you know what? I like what this guy is saying. I like what he does. It sounds interesting. You know, how would a person go about really getting into this, into your line of work? I mean, what would the path be? Obviously, in education, of course. But I'm saying, where would you go? Is there a college course you take for this, or is it just you have to know somebody? How does that work?
basically what I would tell you is, first of all, the biggest conception about this job is I'm big so I can do it, or I'm a big guy so I should be able to do it. And that's not true. Like, it's a bunch of big people out there, you know, so size, it doesn't matter. It's all about how you think and, you know, and how you represent yourself. But if it was the best advice I can give you is find a local venue, like the Verizon, like in D.C., how y'all had a Verizon Center.
Mm-hmm.
And just learn how things go, like how the backstage is run. You know, learn how to ticket taking, and you just learn every aspect of how, you know, the concert and how things is ran, and get a feel for it, and then go from there.
Okay. And tell people, I want you to tell people who say, okay, I like to do this, and they may be looking at it as, like, there's people who don't know you. I do. I mean, and you post a lot about what you're doing, where you are, food, things like that. Now, it would be, now, if a person was not really thinking or knew or wasn't really using their head, they would think, oh, man, this is a great job. I can do this. This is nothing but glamour. I travel all the world. Just can you please wake those people up and tell them what is the real nitty-gritty of the job? The part, well, for you, see, for you, you were built for it. You were made for it. This is what you like. It's not a job for you.
Right.
To a person coming into it, what I would like you to do is give a realistic picture. Like, for instance, give me what your day is like on a day that there's things going on, a concert. What is your schedule like? Like, give me the nitty gritty.
You must have been reading my mind, Mac. I was about to ask him the same question. Give me, what's your typical day? What's your typical day when Lonnie wakes up?
Exactly.
I mean, like, me personally, when I usually, let's say, when, like, an artist have three shows in a row, you know, like, so basically what happened is, like, we'll start a day, we'll leave the hotel, like, about 3 o'clock, get to the venue, artist do sound check from, like, 4 to 5, then they'll perform, right? They go on stage about 9 o'clock, 11 o'clock, I mean, come off at 11. So when they tear the stuff down, like the stage and all that stuff,
mm-hmm.
You get on the tour bus and you drive direct straight to the next city. All right? So you might get to that city. It'd be like, you know, 8 in the morning. So you do everything again. They start building the stage, whatever. You take a shower at the next arena. Sound check. So you at that arena the next day from, like, you know, 8 in the morning to when you leave at tour in the morning. And then you go straight to the next city and do it again. You know,
is most of that on your feet?
Yeah, I mean, most of it's on your feet, and then you're sleeping on a tour bus, you know. And I don't want to make it sound like it's, like, so tough, but it's not like I told you in the beginning. There's no robbery in fair exchange. You know, you make a great living, but, you know, sleeping on a tour bus, you know, you work a lot of hours, you know.
Right.
You work a hell of a lot of hours, but, you know, you just learn how to manage your time and all that other stuff. And you have to be able to deal with different personalities because you're out there with, you know, like up to 80 people with 80 different personalities. And, you know, you have to be able to manage that because you can't be popping off, especially if you're a big guy like me. People feel threatened, and then you go home.
Right. Wow. So, no, and that's what I said. I wasn't trying to say it was a non-glamorous job, but I guess what I'm trying to say is when you're talking about, you know, people who say, ooh, I could do that, and it's like, okay, for instance, it's just a guy who's maybe not as big as you. He thinks it's all glamour. Well, guess what?
Right.
If he's not made for it, know how to write mindset, guess what? When do I get to eat? I don't, you know, I this place is uncomfortable. I can't sleep like this, you know.
Right.
You know, I can't eat off a paper plate. I need a plate. You got a fork? I mean, this is, you know.
Right.
My feet hurt. Can I sit down? Yeah, all right, sit down. You know, next thing you know, you're on a bus, you're on the next thing smoking. Like, what the heck happened?
Right.
So that's why I'm kind
of
trying to. Right, and that's why I was trying to give you an honest assessment of, you know, not saying it's a bad thing, but just to know this is what you expect. If you want this life, this is what you have to expect. Because, you know, people see, I tell, and Jerry can tell you, I say all the time, People see the end product, but they don't see the process. They don't
right.
see, you know, what goes. They all they see is, oh, Pete, look at him. He walked out the hotel with Bruno Mars. Oh, look, he out there talking to Bruno Mars. Oh man, look at that picture with Bruno Mars, you know, or Drake or whatever. What they don't understand is, okay, you saw the after the work. You didn't see the work. You didn't see what we had to do to set this all up and do this, you know, and you didn't see the late nights, and maybe I didn't get to eat when I was supposed to, and you know, but I still got to do my job, and I still got to do it. So, you know, I know it's, you know, I've heard a lot of people talk about, you know, roadies and people like that talk about, you know, how tough it is. Some people say, you know, it's about how tough it is, you know, so I know you don't have to. I know you don't have to, for instance, build stages and all that kind of stuff, but, you know, it doesn't, your job entails a lot, too. You know, you can't.
Yeah, and,
well,
that, and
well, I'm sorry.
Not only that, and not only that, but, man, I have two daughters. I have a 3-year-old and a 2-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And one is in D.C. and one is in L.A., so I'm flying back and forth. You know,
mm-hmm.
my dream was to coach football with my little brother. He's up in Oregon. He's a head coach on the football team now. I love to bowl, you know, in bowling leagues and stuff like that. And
mm-hmm.
so you basically give up all that, you know, like to do this job. I mean, you have to sacrifice a lot to be like, yo, this is my career. This is what I want to do.
But that also means that you have to really like it. So you can't
yes.
just do it for the paper.
You have to love it. You can't just do it for the paper.
Right.
Well, my question is this. You keep up crazy hours I wouldn't say, I would say abnormal hours to the normal working person. So you do a lot of things when people are sleeping. You're still up and traveling.
Yeah.
How do you avoid the, which can be natural, to be burnt out? Because the fact is you're doing this constantly, day in, night in, or night out, sooner or later, the body can take and the mind can take, but so much.
That's a good question.
Huh? What I do is, when I'm sleepy, man, like I said, like now I'm off, you know, when I'm sleepy, I go to sleep. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's no, like, I don't care if it's, you know, 8 in the morning or, you know, if it's, like, 1 in the afternoon. Like, if I'm tired, I go to sleep. You know, you let your body do what it wants to do instead of you trying to tell your body what to do. You know, your body will let you know, like, when it's time to shut it down. Or if not, it'll shut it down for you.
So let me ask you this. So does that mean, let me find out what this means, because I think I know I think I know what Jerry was asking. Well, put it like this. Let's say you can't just sleep when you want to sleep, because you can't sleep during the time. Do you sleep during the time that the artist is on the stage?
Oh, no. I'm talking about, like, in the off time. During tour, it's like a rhythm. Like,
but
your body gets trained. Like, naturally,
okay.
you know, you're a creature of, you know, environment and adaptation. So you get on a routine, you know, like, like if you're running a race, you pace yourself. You know,
right.
like, say, like me, for instance, like, when I get the tour date, it tells me I'm going to leave on this date. Like, say, like, we're going to leave in August, and it say you're going to go home, like, November 22nd. Like, my body has to go home November 22nd. Like, that's the way my body is set up. Like,
right.
if you say we go home November 23rd, like, the 23rd, I'm going to be a wreck. You know, I ain't going to be
right.
no good to you.
Right.
You know, like, but I'm going to give you my all to the 22nd.
Right. So I think, so reflecting back on what his question was, I think what he was asking was, how do you handle when you can't go to sleep, when you can't, like when you're running and you can't. He was just saying, like, how do you avoid not going to sleep? Like, I know people that say they do a job like you or stay up late or work odd hours. I heard a lot of them, like, sleep when they can't. It's like, I catch a few minutes here, I catch a few minutes there, this and this and that. So I guess what he was asking was, how do you, when you have to work, how do you avoid, I'm thinking that's what you were asking, Jerry, like, how do you avoid not
It's
playing?
Never really, like,
yeah.
that bad. Like, say, like, all right, in a regular day, we need a hotel at 4. I mean,
mm-hmm.
like 2 o'clock to go to the arena. So you're not asleep at 2 in the afternoon. And then the show's over at 11. You know what I mean?
You're not early risers too much. On
no.
Like,
come on, man. We working with superstars. You know they don't wake up early. I mean, but truth be told, like B is an early, he's an early riser. He sometimes he beat me in the venue. You
who's
know
what?
Bruno, he gets up early. You know.
Okay.
But like most of the time, you know, you got to like 11. You know, about 11 o'clock, you up and running. So I mean, you know, you're not really tired like that. You know, you ain't lifting no boxes or, you know, so you. Your body just get used to it. Like, I've been doing it 15 years. So, it's like, you know, it's natural to me.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this question. Do you have, how should I say it? Do you have personal relationships with these superstar guys you work? And when I say personal, what I mean by that is, like, but can you, is there such a thing as you, you know, maybe text Greg and say, hey, man, how you doing? Good, blah, 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 short and sweet, we keep it. Or you talk to him or, you know, text or email or I don't know if you keep in contact when you leave or is it more strictly just business and they just walk off?
I try to be honest with you, man, I live by another term just called stay in your lane. And
right.
That's what I do. Like, I stay in my lane. You know, everyone's like, I see Drake at the BMAs or, you know, different places out, you know, Music Awards shows and stuff when we hug and, you know, all that good stuff. And I pretty much know if I did text them. And, you know, I know we do have that type of relationship, but I don't take advantage of it. I try to keep it, like, strictly.
Because I didn't mean take advantage of it. What I meant by is this, that's what I was kind of getting at. Do you have a relationship with him to the point where every now, like, Merry Christmas, man. Thank you. You know, happy Thanksgiving.
Oh,
man,
oh,
you and your family, blah, blah. So I'm like, you know what I'm saying? Is there a personal thing where he knows your name, you know his?
Yeah. It's definitely
right
with all of them. It's that right. With all of them. You know, you protecting these people's life, so they do have some kind of investment into your life as well as you have into theirs. But,
right.
You know, I still, you know, I think that would keep me around a lot. Like, I do send the Merry Christmas and the gift cards or the gift, you know, just because, you know, I wouldn't have, you know, live the lifestyle I live or, you know, provide for my kids if it wasn't for them.
Right, exactly.
So, you know, I respect that, and I definitely appreciate that.
Right, exactly. Do you ever collect any memorabilia or anything, or is it anything they give you to keep or anything like that? Because I've heard, like I saw, I was watching a show called, you ever know the show, both of you guys in the show called American Pickers?
Yes.
And there was a guy on there. This man must have had every piece of country western history that he had got. I mean, he had, like, droves of stuff. I'm not saying you have that, but I'm just saying, from doing it for like over 30 years, 40 years, he just had jackets. He had picks from guitars and Johnny Cash, and he had so much stuff like memorabilia. And I just didn't know if you had a little collection of stuff maybe that you've had over your tours, that whether it's a napkin that from a tour or a pick or anything. I just didn't know if you do that at all.
Yeah, I keep all the laminates. You know, like the backstage pass and stuff like that. I have them from, like, every tour I've worked.
Okay.
I got a couple guitar picks and things of that nature, but it's all, like, you know, I never kept it for, like, monetary. It's just, like, I'm a fan, you know, at the end of the day.
What?
You know,
right. No,
I've
know
been
you
blessed.
Don't.
You know, I've been blessed enough to work with, like, I listened to Linkin Park before I got to work with Linkin Park, you know. So,
okay.
You know, it was more that type of deal, but I'm not like a hoarder though. Like, I don't have like loads of stuff around my house.
I wanted to emphasize, I wasn't saying like you were like a hoarder, but I was just wondering if you, you know, kept mementos, or kept things, or so that way you can look back at it, you know, or show your kids one day and say, man, I knew Bruno Mars. Look, I knew this guy when he was like that. You know, now he's a legend. You know,
yeah, what
like,
I do is, not to cut you off, what I used to do is, like, my kids are young, so every country and every place we visit, I would send my kids a postcard. I, like, write, you know, what they're doing at this time in their life and what I'm thinking about them in particular at that time, and I'll send it in a postcard.
Wow.
So then when I get home, they don't ever, you know, they babies, they look at it and tear it up or whatever. So now I start just putting these, like, photo albums, you know, together and just doing it that way where they can have it when they get older.
That's great, man. That's really great.
So you have photo albums of these stars that you're protecting? Is that what you're telling me?
Yes. Like,
okay.
Then not only that, like, you might be me and a star, then they have, like, certain different foods, like, you know, pictures in Brazil, and then pictures of them, like, say, like, their mama sent me a picture, like, my little daughter, Avon, she's 2, and she lives in D.C. She went to her first NFL game. She went to the Washington Redskins. So,
mm-hmm.
So I put that picture in there so that her other sister can see it. Like, they both get the same copy, so you can see, like, oh, my sister went to the game, you know, things of that nature.
I got you. Okay, so that's cool. Well, Lonnie, let me ask you, have you ever thought about or ever had the thought cross your mind to start a business of this on your own? Or is this just pretty much what you would like to do? Would you one day like to have a business doing this? Or, you know, what does the future hold? Like, what are your dreams? What are the things you want to do? And maybe it has to do with, I don't know.
Yeah, like, I have other businesses besides this. This is my bread and butter. But
mm-hmm.
I am the vice president of a security company in California who does we do more like, you know, property protection, you know, like
okay.
watch, you know, like construction sites and things of that nature. I have a cell phone accessory company. But, like, far as this particular business itself, no. I'm happy with MPB. I've been with them for 15 years. I'm loyal. You know, they seen something in me when I didn't even see it in myself, and I can never see myself, like, saying I'm going to start my own business and compete against them. That I just would never do that.
How long has this company that you work for been in existence? And are you, like, one of their oldest employees?
No.
Meaning, in time.
They got a couple guys that's been in the company longer than me, but I am a senior agent in the company.
Okay.
Wow. So let me ask you this. Who have you met that you've been starstruck? Like, when I say a fan, like, somebody that's really, like, nervous or something, when you meet them, for me, the first time I met Floyd Mayweather, it was like, wow. It was like, you know, I mean, I didn't say too much. I was like, yeah, hey, Floyd, da-da-da. I mean, it took me a few minutes to warm up, and it was only because he was being nice, you know, at his place. But it just when you meet it, when you see somebody in the flesh, you're just like, really? You know, and so I'm saying for me it was probably, I would have to say the number one person was probably Floyd Mayweather, probably the number one person for me. So I'm saying, who was that one person that you met him and you were like, pinch yourself, like, wow, I'm actually admired.
Man, I'm kind of even embarrassed to say this, bro.
Okay.
Hey, look, if
and
I
this
can
is
admit
probably,
this, I know you can just do it.
You're probably the second time ever I'm telling this to anybody.
Okay.
Did you ever watch the show The Wonder Years?
Yes.
Sure.
Fred Savage. Believe it or not.
Fred Savage?
Right.
Oh, my God. You got
like,
to be kidding me.
Believe it or not, like, I was new in the business. I was doing personal security for Christina Aguilera, and we was at a party in Hollywood Hills. And I'm telling you, you know, Christina's there. It's everybody's there. And it was at Fred Savage's house. And he walks out and shakes my hand. I'm like, wait a minute, this Fred Savage. I'm like, where's Winnie Cooper at?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so that's it, man.
Hey, Mac, we have somebody on the line. I think we got a caller on the line. You want to bring the caller in and see what they have to say or not?
Where they from?
Area code 571.
Nah, let's leave it out. I just leave it out. I don't want nothing crazy on this. I don't
okay.
Because every time we seem to answer, we get somebody crazy.
Okay, no problem.
But let me ask you this. So it's Fred Savage. So did you end up having a conversation with him, or was it more or less like, golly, and it was over?
No, it was godly and it's over. You know, like,
okay.
You know, I had to watch Christina and make sure she was okay. So it was a quick wow.
Fred Savage. I would have never thought that one.
I would get right there. I'm waiting for like Vin Diesel, you know, or something. I'm just like, what in the heck?
Oh, man.
You know, I just expected somebody else. I didn't expect it to be Fred Savage. Like, that's the last name. Like, that's like.
Well, let me put it this way. You've named, you're with Bruno Mars now. You've named Rihanna.
Mm-hmm.
You've named Christina Aguilera. You named Drake. What other stars, celebrities, that you could recall, and you probably can recall all of them, but we'll say the current stars right now. Have you been with? Let me put it that way.
I've been with, you know, Blink 182. I work with Pearl Jam. Like I said, Linkin Park. Nine Inch Nails.
I know your music takes us all over the place.
Oh yeah, and that's pretty much it. And one, I know I'm missing some. Oh, Weezer. I worked with Weezer for a long time. But those are some great guys to work for. Yeah, that's about it.
Okay, so you ever worked with a lot of actors?
No, not really. I thank God that, not saying it's a bad thing, I'm not real, I haven't had an opportunity, you know, like, I lived in L.A., so you see that, I guess you have some type of fear for that Hollywood type thing.
Right.
You know, I guess I'm just ignorant to it, you know, but I was born and raised in L.A., and I guess my grandparents was always like, hey, you better stay away from that.
Right.
You know.
I got you.
So.
I got you. So let me ask you this. So how is it, this is an interesting question off the topic, but I just want to ask you, you said you were born in South Central L.A.?
Yes.
Okay, what part of South Central L.A.? What city?
Did you see when the Rodney King's riot started and they hit Reginald Denny when they pulled that guy out the truck and hit him with the brake?
Right.
Yeah. That's four blocks away from my house where I grew up.
Oh. So let me ask you this. So where were you during that time?
During that time, we was in the process of getting ready to move. Like, my parents had bought a house in Moreno Valley, California. And literally, we moved the day after the riot started to Moreno Valley.
So
wow.
Yeah. That was my junior year in high school.
So you probably thought all that stuff was kind of crazy because you hadn't been in that kind of atmosphere before, have you?
I mean, it's... I mean, if you see the movie, I grew up... Oh, yeah, that's definitely scary, especially, like, you know, being someone like me, I don't have a prejudice bone in my body, you know?
Right.
So seeing, like, you know, people fighting somebody because they're Mexicans or white or whatever, like, that part was hard for me. When I have, like, some of my best friends are, you know, Mexican and white and other nationalities,
right.
So.
Right.
That aspect of it was, like, beyond hard for me, but, you know.
So being a big guy, I imagine it can work either way. People can be intimidated by you or people can try you. What do you find out people do the most?
It all depends, man. Like, I'm not that kind of guy. Like, yes, I'm big in stature. And I believe in walking lightly and carrying a big stick.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not the bully type. I don't have to, you know. But when I was in, you know, growing up, I was kind of like, because it was like during the time of colors, like Crips
sure.
and Bloods and all that other
right.
stuff.
Right, right.
And I had a teacher tell me one time, like, my English teacher, she told me one day, like, if people scared of you, they will kill you.
Oh, wow.
And that really changed my life, man. That line right there, if somebody's scared of you, they will kill you. And that changed my whole life.
Did that change it for the better as far as, like, you were more humble?
Yeah.
More, Is that where you got pretty much the walk softly and carry a big stick from that?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Like before then, I was always on edge thinking somebody going to try to get me or, like, you know, like I'm, you know, always, I'm going to be the first one to punch you before you punch me. And but after that, it was like, after that, it was like, yo, I don't want nobody to be scared enough to kill me.
And you realize that what that teacher told you is what you're putting in play right now in your adult life.
Yes.
So imagine what would happen if that teacher didn't decide to tell those words to you. You may not be in a situation and being fortunate in what you're doing right now.
Yeah, and you're right. Like, when I was growing up, like, 1 in 4 black kids didn't live to see 21.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, just because of gang violence, you know. And so, you're right, if she didn't tell me that, you know, I there's no telling where I would be.
Wow. Mac, he dropped off again? He dropped off again? Yes, he did. I don't know what's going on with him. So let me ask you this, okay? I know she told you these words, you know, and teachers tell students all the time a lot of things. What made this thing stick? What made her, what she said, stick in your mind?
Because death is permanent.
And was this the teacher that was in while you were in South Central, or was this
yes.
where you moved to?
No, when I was in South Central, this is a lady named Ms. Freed. I was at Horseman Junior High School, and she was an English teacher. And I know I just used to walk around and not really a bully, but like with a bully mentality.
Right.
You know. And one day she was like, I want to talk to you after school. She was a little small lady. And she was like, Lonnie, I'm going to tell you, if you make people scared of you, they will kill you. I was like, and then it just hit me, like, when you say kill, I mean, like, death. Like, I'm never going to see the sun again. You know, like, that's permanent.
Well, I don't know if you ever talked to her. She's probably passed away by now, but I know you probably thank your lucky stars for the teacher that helped open your eyes and see the light. So
yeah, like, I had a bunch of, like, I thank God, like, I had a bunch of, like, great teachers and mentors, different, like, you know, I played football and different sports. So I definitely, like, when they said takes a village to raise a child, sometimes I definitely was part of that village, you know, and I thank God because I had a lot of different people I can go to that, you know, helped me, you know, while I was in South Central and, you know, before, you know, I moved. You know, my parents worked a lot, so, you know, you're subjected to, you know, the streets and all that other stuff while they're trying to provide the best life they can for you. So, you know, I'm definitely thankful.
Okay. So, Lonnie, I guess what I wanted to do, the last question I wanted to ask you is, when you do have a hard time, you do have a hard day, or, you know, all of us have it. Is it what gets you through that? What gets you through that day? Like, what gets you, keeps you motivated, keeps you going in this more than just everything else? Like, what's that one thing that you like? Okay, if I go back to base, go back to this, and for me, is God. It's always my ground, my foundation. I go back to usually because it usually means if I'm having a hard time, I've either neglected or I haven't done something I should have been doing. But for you, what is that?
Wow, that's a good question. It's hard to answer, like, because anybody that tell you that know me, like, they can really, I don't, this might sound crazy, but I don't have too many bad days. You know, like, I'm, like, so positive and, like, I mean, the way my outlook on life is, like, it always can be worse. Right. You know, like yep. something bad happened, like, hey, thank God it could have been worse.
Yep.
You know, and I honestly, truly, like, feel that way. You know, like, my spirit and my faith is just so strong that I never be rattled or, you know, things happen. It's just a part of life, you know.
Right.
And people say, why me? Like, why not you? You know, like.
Yeah. You know, some of you think there's a lot of things that you do that you probably go through that other people can't handle. Just like I go through certain things, and, you know, maybe you could handle it.
Yeah, and then I always tell myself, too, to whom much is given, much is expected. You know, so,
right.
like, when I do start to feel like down, it'd be like, hey, you know, to whom much is given, much is expected. You know, like, man, you wouldn't believe, like, you know, how many people be, you know, hating me up for money or whatever, you know, I need you to do this, I want you to do that, you know. And sometimes I'd be like, I don't want to feel like I'm not appreciative, you know, to the fact that somebody want to spend time or I want to help as many people as I can. But if I can't, you know, and people get upset, you know, sometimes that's what gets me down. But then I'll remind myself, like, to whom much is given, you know, much is expected.
Now, the only difference between you and me is that if somebody asks me to help them and I can't, they get mad. Usually I take that as a good thing. And I say that because, and I say that only in the fact that sometimes people really aren't your friend. They're only your friend because they can get something from you, as opposed to they're not your friend when you sell them nothing. And I say sometimes that's good because sometimes you don't know who they are. You know, even though
right.
you know something. Now here's my last question. I do have a last question. This is a good one. I think you'll like this one. I think you can answer it. I think you are the one person who can give this out. Give people, fans, casual people, whatever, give them what are your rules, your set of rules, when you meet a celebrity, work for or you see a celebrity somewhere and you get a chance to talk to them or whatever, what are the rules? I have my own set, you know, for basketball players or famous people. I have my own set that I live by. When I meet them, I never, you know, do this. I have some of them, like, for instance, one rule I make is, I've known John Wall for about maybe 2-3 years, but I've known him through the summer league, through goodness. I've seen him, we talk, we have conversation, just quick conversation, I'm not in no inner circle, nothing like that, but I have his number. But every now and then, I text him, hey man, great game. Really good. Keep it short. So for me, I tell people all the time, if you get a chance to talk to somebody, keep it short and sweet, keep it moving. Don't be a nag. Don't be all up on them, whatever. So I want to know, what are your set of rules that you live by or that you would tell a fan or somebody, if you meet this person, you meet famous people, this is what you should not do or what you should do?
Believe it or not, there's a guy who I respect a lot. They call him Spoon. He's like Drake's personal guy. And mm-hmm. you know, when Drake say, me and my G is from D.C., that's how I move around, he's
mm-hmm.
talking about Spoon. And he always taught me, like, man, about the three C's, and that's what we believe in. When you meet people, even in a relationship, business, or anything, if you get comfortable, then you will get cocky. And if you get cocky, you will get cut. And that's the three C's. And that's the three C's. And that works with your relationship. If you get too comfortable, you start mistreating your girl, and then she go cut you.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
On your job, you start getting too comfortable, you start getting cocky, you get fired.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
And that's how I am. Like, with celebrities, the same thing. They people just like you. They put their shoes on one foot at a time, man. They just have different opportunities that you didn't, you know. And they just want to be treated like, you know, real people, man. That's all it is. There's nothing more to it than that.
So that's your rule.
That's my rule. Three C's.
If you get comfortable, you'll get cocky. If you get cocky, you'll get cut.
Yep.
So, wow, That's pretty good. I gotta use that one, Jerry. You gotta use that one, Jerry. For people who are like, where'd you get that from? Like, you don't know who he is, but You work with some people that you just need to know that. Like I said, so for me, like for me, my rule is, one of my rules is, never ask a basketball player or a celebrity for anything as far as possession. Like I know a lot, like I noticed, like Kevin will come down to the business and people ask him for a shoe or ask him to have a uniform off your back or this and that. I don't ask Kevin for anything. If I ask him for something, it's always something to eat. Can I take a, you know, can we go ahead and get a picture? Sure, no problem. Oops, you know, or my rule is if I want Kevin to autograph shoes, I don't ask for the shoes. I go buy the shoes. Then let him autograph.
Right.
Kind of get with them. There's just certain rules. You just don't ask.
Yeah.
And they feel like, well, dang, are you just talking to me because you want something? Or is this, you know, is this some, you know, because sometimes celebrities just want different conversations. I was, like, shocked, you know, when I met Floyd, how it was just general conversation. It wasn't about nothing. It was just like, hey, you know, it wasn't about manufacturing. It wasn't about nothing. We were just talking about, he was talking about bets and how he bets and what he's thinking about and this and that. And he, you know, it was great. It was just normal conversation. So, you know, that's those three C's are something that makes a lot of sense. And you can't get comfortable. You always have to realize, like, and that's true. Every time I, you know, if I see Floyd or if I see his father, now, as father, I'm a little more, when I say comfortable, I don't mean it to what I'm saying. He's more a little down to earth and not as standoffish. So I can talk to him, but at the same time, I never get comfortable. I feel like, hey, Floyd, see, what's happening? Blah, blah, blah. I don't do that. I always keep it, well, sir, you know, I always tell him, call him sir, because that's where I was raised, things like that. There's just different things like that you do. Now, if he tell me, don't call me sir, call me so-and-so, which he has, I make mistakes and come to say sir, but I keep it as sir. I can get away with it because I just never want to go overboard because I don't know him like that. So that's good advice. Well, Lonnie, I just want to truly, truly thank you, man, for coming on the show.
Same here.
I really appreciate it, man. I mean, this has been insightful. I mean, I'm blessed to do this show, and the one thing I tell people all the time is the one thing I love about my show is that I meet some of the best people, and I have some great friends. And, I mean, when I talk to them, I mean, I'm talking about I don't have boring friends. Like, when people say, you have friends? I mean, I don't have boring friends. I don't have too many boring friends. I have great friends, and they do the most interesting things, and I thank God that I get to know them and get to talk to them and get to, you know, even if I can't do it myself, I get to see it through them. So I appreciate you coming on the show. We really want to thank you for Tim Lavin. That was a great show. And that last it was a great show, I'm telling you.
Yeah, his wife is a good friend. His wife is actually one of the reasons I am. Like, she used to work for the company. She was, like, the vice president of the company that ran the forum. So that's how I met him. And she hit me and was telling me, like, hey, my husband did blah, blah, blah. I'm just trying to get him. And the first person popped in mind was you. I said, oh, I got to get him with Mac.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. Jerry had a good time interviewing. I mean, there was just an insight and things that we just did. You know, I tell everybody every day, you know, I'm glad I have Jerry. And the one thing I always think about is I was like, man, this is a great show. You know, even though I know I don't have 50,000 people listening to me and things like that, but I enjoy doing it. And for those who do listen, learn something. And I think honestly, for Jerry, I think sometimes Jerry is surprised at the people that I know and the interesting guests. I'm like, Jerry, we got a good one at that. They ain't business.
Just keep bringing them on, man, because I'm loving it.
Okay.
And that's why I said I like doing it even more for Jerry more than anybody, because I'm like, hey, Jerry, how about this? Because for me, I just like to bring people forward that give people a unique perspective into what they do and how they do it, because I'm a big person in you're interested, I want to know how it is. If I have a basketball player on here, like I'm going to have Shaq on here in another couple months, when I get Shaq on here, it's like, what does it take? You know, and for me, I'm about process. I'm about where did you start from, how did you do it, how did you get here, because I want people to always think, when I see somebody doing something, especially when it's interesting, I like to see the end results, but I always like to know, what was the process? What did you sacrifice? What did you go through to enjoy this, have this? And so you've given us another perspective of, you know, you're a security director. But, you know, for people would die to be a security director, but, you know, there might be people out here who listen to the show who may be inspiring to do it. And I just really want to bring you on the show and expose those people and really give them an idea of why. Because sometimes I get mad when they have people on a show and they'll say, oh, he's this and oh, he's that. And I'm like, nah, man, I want to know how he did it. Like, what did he sacrifice? You know, what did he get there? So, you know, I just want to thank you, man, for your meet, for sharing your perspective with us, man, sharing what you've done, where you've been. And, you know, I, for one, man, you know, respect what you do, appreciate what you do. I don't know if
same
I can
here.
Do it because sleeping food is what I love, and I can't. I don't know if I could be doing all that thing on my feet. I'd be like, nah, I think about 3:30, me coming from something to the kids, that's enough. So, you know, you deal with one guy, I deal with 1,500. So, thank you, Lonnie, man, for being on the show, man. And, you know, we'll try to have you back. You know what? I'm going to try to have you back on when that American leg comes. And
okay.
Maybe we'll catch you during the tour and just say, you know, how's everything going? What are you doing? Da, 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 da. So we'll definitely have you back on. So remind me when you get on that American tour. I usually tell everybody, look, man, email me, hit me through Facebook and remind me. But I want to thank you, man. I appreciate you, man. I respect you as a friend and as a man. And I appreciate it, man. Like I said,
oh,
you're
man, thanks for having me, brother. You know that. I appreciate you all as well. And, Jerry, it was nice meeting you, sir.
Same to you, my man.
Yeah, so we will talk to you later. Just want to let everybody know that we have a guest next week. I'll let you know who that is throughout the week. I'll be promoting that. And like I said, if you see Bruno Mars coming through your area this spring and summer, please go out and support and go out and get a ticket, take the wife out, take the kids out, have a good time. I like his music, and, you know, just want to support Lonnie and support everything he's doing. Anybody who's on the show, I want to support what they're doing. So with that, we'll be on next week, and we'll see you later, Jerry. Have a great week. Hey, look.
You
do. Guys, man.
And have a happy holiday, Mac.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to you guys.
Yep,
Merry Christmas
you too.
To both you guys and your family. Merry Christmas to all the people out there who listen to us regularly every week. I appreciate you. I love you guys, and have a happy new year. And with that, we are out.